Tonight's recap of Fear the Walking Dead is sponsored by CanvasPeople.com. Hope you had a fun summer and took plenty of pictures along the way, because there's no better way to remember all of those fun times you had in the summer of 2017 than to turn them into beautiful canvas works of art with CanvasPeople.com. Canvas People has a great offer right now. You can try out Canvas People for a special rate of $0. Get an 11 by 14 canvas photo made up of any of the pictures from your phone or your camera. Try it for $0. You just pay the shipping. It's less than $20 overall to get this 11 by 14 canvas photo in your home. Just think about the Otto family. They could get Jeremiah and Troy and Jake, pictures of them all together with both of the moms. It would have been really fantastic stuff to have at the ranch to commemorate all of the work that they've done. You can have a great looking photo like that as well. I know Nicole and I have really loved the stuff that we've gotten from Canvas People. You will too. Over 1 million satisfied customers so far at CanvasPeople.com. So try out this special offer. Go to CanvasPeople.com, upload your photo, and select the 11 by 14 size. Just enter the promo code POST in the promo code box so you can get that special $0 pricing. That's CanvasPeople.com, promo code POST. Fear the Walking Dead, Season 3, Episode 12, My Brother's Keeper is over, but we are just getting started here on the Fear the Walking Dead post-show recap. And now, here are the two people who know if this van's a-rockin', the zombie horde's a-knockin'. I'm Rob Sestrino, and here with me for the first time on the Fear the Walking Dead podcast is Jessica Lees. Jessica, how are you?
I'm doing great, Rob. I just got back from the pantry, got myself a bunch of beef jerky. I'm ready to talk about everything that happened this week.
Okay, I just got a can of tuna, which I just pounded right before. I shotgunned some tuna right before, and I put down my shotgun to pick up the microphone and do this podcast with you tonight.
Oh, that tasty, tasty tuna water.
Just pounded it. Anyway, Jess, very excited to talk to you about Fear the Walking Dead. It was a crazy night on Fear the Walking Dead. It started off a little slow in the first half hour, but really everything went to hell in a handbasket by the end of this hour, including RIP, spoiler alert, in case you have not gotten out of here and you're listening to this for some reason, Jake Otto is off the board, gone.
Well, considering they spent the entire first half of the episode foreshadowing that, I don't know how anybody could possibly have been surprised by the time it actually happened.
Yeah. What were you seeing? What was the foreshadowing?
Oh, there were a couple of different things. Like, I think anytime you have a character who's like semi-happy and in love and talking about future plans, mm-hmm. like, we're going to go to this other cabin at this other place and, you know, the two of us can run away together, that usually means one of the two of them is going to die, and it's probably not going to be Alicia.
Yeah.
And then you get to all of the symbolism. You get to that long, awful story about the rabbit that got skinned alive. And you get the actual of mice and men parallels. Like, you know that someone's getting put down, and you know it's probably not going to be the guy that you don't like.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Jess, I'm really looking forward to getting into everything here about Fear the Walking Dead. You and I had the opportunity to podcast the other day. We actually talked about a Deep Space Nine episode as we got our new Star Trek podcast feed launched in time for Star Trek Discovery. We should have a Star Trek Discovery podcast coming up very soon on the heels of this episode, talking about the premiere of Star Trek Discovery. I will be talking with Jeremiah Panhorst later on tonight about all of that. So looking forward to that. And also looking forward to getting into a conversation with you the rest of this season about Fear the Walking Dead. Could you give us some backstory into your Walking Dead fandom?
Well, as you know, Rob, this is not the first time I've been on post-show recaps talking about The Walking Dead, although it's a little bit different here. Josh Wigler and I did during season six, we had a podcast that was Walking Dead Book Club, where we talked about the comics and how we thought what happened in the comics was going to play out in the episodes. And someday, maybe when in our ample free time, Josh and I will pick that up again someday. But I've been an OG Walking Dead fan for a long time. I picked up Fear the Walking Dead in an off season while I was bored, and here I am now.
We have any big picture thoughts on Fear the Walking Dead before we talk about this episode?
I find Fear the Walking Dead a little bit slow at times. I think that's not a hot take by any means. Mm-hmm. I found some of the Floating Dead season to be downright infuriating in its pacing and in the stupid things people did. And people were doing so many stupid things, I had to put the show down for a while, and I picked it back up again very recently.
Okay.
It's overall, I think it's better than people give it credit for, I guess is my answer.
Who's your favorite character?
My favorite character is definitely Strand, although I like Daniel a lot.
Yeah.
As well. And Reuben Blades, I've been a fan of since well before he was an actor. He's also a fairly well-known musician, and I enjoy his work in that realm quite a lot.
What kind of music does he play?
He is a native of Panama, and it's kind of Latin-flavored music, but he's a very talented songwriter, and he's collaborated with a lot of people that you will have heard of.
All right. Well, let's talk about what went down here tonight, and Jess, I have to say, I am getting a little infuriated that somehow Troy Otto continues to live. And I'm getting really frustrated. I was frustrated in the season premiere when Madison did not put him down when she had the chance. And I felt like at the time it was something, I understand why the show didn't want to do it. I didn't understand why Madison was reticent to do it at that time. And I really don't understand why Nick won't just do it, especially considering the fact that his sister's life is in major jeopardy because of this Troy Otto, and he has put the lives of hundreds of people at risk. I don't know why Nick, if he's going to go through with killing Jeremiah Otto, why he won't go through with killing Troy Otto.
Yeah, I'm not really buying what they're trying to sell to us here, which is that he feels this deep remorse at having killed Jeremiah Otto. Like, really, no, you kind of don't. You made everybody's lives better by getting rid of that guy. He kind of needed to go. And his whole monologuing about how tortured you would feel if you had to take a human life, like, come on.
He's not even the worst Otto. You killed the second worst Otto. Don't feel bad about it. Troy Otto is the worst. You should kill him. And because he did not, Jake Otto is now dead. So basically, Nick, you killed Jake Otto.
You killed the best Otto.
You killed the best Otto. You killed probably the second worst one, and then you beat yourself up over that. The worst one continues to live, and you're like, come on, you got to unmake this mess that you made. And then the best one is gone.
Yeah. The other thing that I'm not really buying that they were trying to sell us was that we kind of needed Troy to help unmake the horrible mess he made.
You don't need him for that.
You know who would have been much, much better at fixing all that? Jake
Otto. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I agree 100%. And so to me, that's what's really frustrating. Like, I loved all of the action. It was very exciting towards the back half of the episode with the entire zombie horde attacking the ranch. So good action. It was exciting TV, but I was screaming at the TV the entire time. No, no, just kill this guy. Just kill him.
You kind of had a little Scott Evil moment.
Yeah, sure. Sure. Get rid of Troy Otto, because he is up there now in my all time least favorite characters in scripted television.
All time least favorite, really?
As in, just, I don't understand why people are not just killing him. There's no reason. I used to think it was that, okay, well, there'd be some sort of a backlash from the militia. Maybe that's why they, but it doesn't even seem like that's a thing anymore.
Yeah, and like, who's going to tell him? They're out in the middle. They're like out on a bluff. It's like, oh, the oh, the infected got him. I had to put him down. Oh, well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, are you buying that Nick is really wrestling with the loss or the taking the life of Jeremiah Otto?
I think Nick becomes very compassionate about other people when it's convenient for the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it swings so far in the other direction where you're thinking, like, this can't be the same guy making these same decisions.
Yeah, he's really all over the place, Nick, and it will come down to him being the one to save everybody from the attacking zombie horde. So what's going to go on now? He's just going to have the rocket launcher and then just create enough noises from further away to be able to distract the horde?
Well, you know, Rob, the last time we saw a big horde like this threatening the civilization in OG Walking Dead, they used a rocket launcher to get all of them away.
Yeah, that is true.
I think it's very effective. They don't have a lake to set on fire. If they did, they wouldn't be running out of water, but they can set something on fire and everybody will just walk into it. And you just make sure they don't walk out of it on fire.
Right. But do they know that? We know that. And that was, I believe, the events of the season 6 premiere, the famous black and white episode from the regular Walking Dead. But will Nick and Troy Otto put their heads together to come back for that?
Well, Troy seemingly knows this. Like, he seems to have this piece of knowledge about the infected that he can use the rocket launcher to direct them where he needs them to go. And I think it's not a huge leap of logic to say, oh, well, they like shiny things and big loud booms. So let's make a big shiny loud boom and they'll all go away.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then what would become of Troy Otto? Is it like, well, you helped us unmake this mess that you made, so I guess you're a decent guy. Are they going to chalk it up to the fact like, oh, I haven't slept in a week. I was undergoing temporary insanity. Let me back into the ranch now.
I think it's going to be more like we probably get Troy doing something heroic to sacrifice himself and everybody can kind of hold the Otto family in high esteem without having to actually interact with any of them anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What has to happen for Troy Otto to be murdered? Does Alicia need to do it at this point?
I'm not sure he can be killed. Like, he might be the last one standing at the end of the series.
Oh, my God.
They're just like, oh, this guy is, you know, he's way too interesting and he's kind of so good looking, it's off putting, and he's
wow.
His character is just all over the map and crazy and tortures animals, and we're just going to keep him around
but
until
the very
end. Do you
find him so interesting, Jess?
I don't find him interesting at all. I think he's pretty one note, to be honest. And again, he's got that absurd facial symmetry that makes it hard to look at him.
Mm-hmm. But he's too attractive.
He's too attractive, so he's not attractive.
Yes,
it's like there's an uncanny valley.
Wow. Okay, I never thought of that. He's too ridiculously good looking.
Yeah, it's and then they make that guy the sociopath.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. Is that what the problem is? That he's too handsome? Nobody could harm a hair on his head? Even
That's
Madison?
Probably why they like him.
Yeah.
That's probably why they haven't killed him yet. Like, well, you know, you're good looking.
He's too disarming.
Too disarming.
Yeah.
They all get literally disarmed.
Right, that like Jake Otto did. He was literally disarmed in this episode.
Oh, yes.
Jess, this was an episode that is, I guess, taking place while Madison and Strand and Walker are out running the water errand and they came back. What do you think their reaction is going to be when they get back to the ranch?
Well, first of all, how much ammo did these people waste on the infected? So they just promised they were going to trade a whole bunch of ammo and guns
and
stuff. Yeah,
that's true.
To the damn people. What happens now? They've used it all up trying to fight off the horde. And now we can't trade anything for the water. And now we're in trouble again.
Yeah.
That's my first thought.
Well, the good news is that you will have a lot less people, so there won't be as many people drinking the water. So you do need less water at this point.
And you need and you have less cows, too.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, the cows bring the infected in. Jess, did you notice, did the ranch take heavy casualties?
It didn't seem like it. It seemed like they had a strategy where most of everybody was already in the pantry.
The one guy, the guy that was in the militia, that he went down.
Yeah. And then like all of they had a conversation up in the front lines where it was like, we're going to make sure all the people back there don't get killed. We might get killed, but that's what we signed up for.
Mm-hmm.
I think what that means is that most of the people were elsewhere at the time that the wall got breached and all of the zombies came in.
Yeah, locked in the pantry. You know, the zombie horde behavior, though, is so confusing to me because at times the zombies could be so well organized that they're able to flip over a Winnebago in trying to get in there. But then at the end of the episode where we had sort of like this mad dash to the pantry where we saw Ophelia and Alicia trying to get down the basement with Crazy Dog, it just seemed like that the walkers that were over there, or the infected, since it's Fear of the Walking Dead, that were over there, they were just sort of like wandering around aimlessly.
Yeah, it's true. It seemed like they
just seemed like really discombobulated as opposed to the hungry horde of walkers that we saw just overturn a Winnebago.
And that's kind of been in this universe. That's kind of been the way they behave. It's some of them are really, really smart when it's convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's like they can use a rock to break a window. And sometimes it's like they don't know how stairs work.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the circumstance. And maybe it's a lot like people. Maybe some of them are really smart and some of them are really not smart.
Yeah. Alicia, I mean, just got through the herd of discombobulated, slow moving walkers like this was a Tecmo Bowl. And she was Bo Jackson just doing like spin moves and stiff arms and jumping. And she got right through that group. No problem whatsoever getting to the pantry. You would think also the people in the pantry would have locked that door well before Ophelia and Alicia arrived.
Yeah,
that was close.
It kind of seemed like they just about brought a whole bunch of zombies into the pantry with them.
So we'll see how that plays out. I mean, is Alicia officially the leader, and is there going to be some battle with Madison when she gets back?
That could be interesting. It's weird to me to see Alicia kind of emerge like this, because it seems like just a little more than a season ago, she was the one having stupid conversations with cute sounding boys on a radio mm-hmm. to bring down pirates on top
sure,
of everybody.
But she's grown a lot since then.
I guess like maybe it's the love of a good man has helped her find her inner leadership qualities. I don't really know.
Well, maybe there'll be some sort of a martyrdom with Jake Otto, where now that he's gone, a little bit of a Maggie and Glenn type situation where she will rise up into the leadership role created by the vacuum of the loss of Jake Otto.
That is something that crossed my mind. It did seem like there were quite a few Maggie parallels where she kind of emerges as this badass out of nowhere. And it could be that she ends up leading these ranch people. I can't imagine they're staying on the ranch now. Like, what's left?
Well, Madison last week, she was talking about how that the ranch was where she wants to live, that she got an opportunity to live at the dam. And she's like, no, I love the ranch. I want to live there. That's where I want to be.
Well, that was before every zombie in the world trampled all over her stuff.
Yeah, I didn't know that then. I didn't know that Troy was going to come back, really screw everything up.
Yeah. P.S. How did they not know that?
I mean, it was infuriating that they didn't kill him in the first episode.
They should have killed him, or they should have at least like driven him much further.
Nobody
out.
Would have missed him.
That's true. And, you know, everybody else knew, they could have dropped him off in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
It's like taking him to a farm to live with all of the other handsome sociopaths.
Okay. Just let me get your opinion on something that Josh Wigler brought up on the podcast last week. He put out into the world the possibility, is the show trying to ship Nick and Ophelia? Are you getting that?
Well, I'm not getting that. They barely interact. And I think, if anything, the show already has some ships in mind for Ophelia.
Okay.
She has much better options. And I don't think Nick is romantically going to be good for anybody.
Probably not. Okay. What about maybe Nick and Troy Otto? Maybe that they're the only two ridiculously good looking people that can stand each other's symmetry.
Troy's got no other options. Nick's the only one that likes him even a little bit.
The only one that can stand him.
Yeah.
Now, in this episode, not only did we see Alicia smoking cigarettes, is that a first on this show, or did she do it during the Catholic school night out?
She might have done it when she was a delinquent teenager.
Right.
But I don't quite remember. And then that was a long time ago.
Nick also smoking cigarettes in this episode. Are you taking anything away from the hardening of Nick and Alicia?
I think they've got them, so they're smoking them.
Okay. That's all it comes down to. Is Madison going to approve of this?
Probably not, but Madison...
This never would have happened if Travis was here.
That's probably true, but I can't imagine that Madison's got much like moral high ground to stand on anymore.
Mm-hmm. What did you think of when Troy Otto broke into Nick's house to tell him about what was going to happen?
Well, aren't all the windows busted out of it anyway?
Yeah.
Can't you just reach out and like reach your hand out and lock it again?
Yeah, I did think that was funny when he locked Nick on the balcony and then Nick had to jump off the balcony and then run all the way back around. Like, it seemed like he really just could have just put his arm through one of the holes and just unlocked the door again.
Yeah, that's kind of, but you know, they're not really great problem solvers on this program.
No, not necessarily. How do you think Alicia will handle the news about Jake being gone?
I think it will make her stronger and hone her leadership skills.
Will she blame Nick?
Probably not. I think she will. She may be angry with him at first, but I think it's going to be easy for everyone to blame Troy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but nobody will. Nobody will hold Troy accountable.
They won't hold him accountable, but, you know, they could just keep him around and be like, yeah, it was his fault.
Yeah, I really had it with this guy.
Yeah, boy. Let's drive him out. Let's drive him out about 2 miles and leave him.
Put him further away.
Yeah. Let's leave him 3 miles out this time.
Yeah. Jess, what went wrong with cutting off Jake's arm? We've seen this work before with Herschel getting his leg cut off in the prison. Did they not act fast enough? Did they not cut his arm high enough?
It could have been a couple of different things. It did seem like they waffled a little too much before cutting off the arm, which...
I mean, not that much.
Not that much. I mean, certainly it didn't seem like any more time than before they cut off Herschel's legs, but I think maybe the thing that Herschel had going for him was that Herschel was a medical professional.
Mm-hmm.
And these are just a couple of morons out in the desert with dirty knives. So I'm going to guess that they probably didn't tie him off tightly enough and he probably bled out.
Yeah. Oh, so he bled out. He died. It wasn't necessarily even the zombie bite. And then that's why. And then he turned.
Yeah, that's what I think, because we really only saw him. We saw him kind of lying there pretty stiff. And it seemed like the conversation about we need to put him down happened a little prematurely. Like if he was still alive, I'm not sure they'd be having that conversation. It was more like he's turning now and now you have to put him down. I don't think it was like, oh, well, we can't get him to a doctor right away and he's in a coma. We should put him down. Right. I mean, they got a pickup. They could put him in the back of the pickup and just leave him there.
Jess, I just want to be very clear about this. And I know I've blamed Troy Otto, but this was the situation. Jake Otto was sitting on Troy Otto with a gun in his face. He was going to pull the trigger and then Nick cold cocks him with the butt of a rifle, which ends up knocking him out so that the walker can bite his arm. This is 150% Nick's fault.
150%. I'm like, why do you care about Troy so much?
I mean, he's terrible. He's a terrible person. And okay, I know you feel guilty about killing his dad, I guess, but you now have made him dead.
Yeah, and
this is the one you should feel bad about.
How stupid are you? You're going to knock out the good one to save the bad one's life. Like, that does not compute, really.
Yeah, just for the reason of you won't be able to live with yourself if you do this. You don't want this guilty conscience that I have. Trust me.
Well, spoiler alert, he's not going to have to live with himself anyway.
No, nobody has to live with Jake Otto anymore. Boy, Jake Otto had a really terrible run of luck.
He sure did. and he was just a little bit too good for this universe. Like, you knew this guy was dying.
Right. And yeah, he should have gotten away. That Alicia should not have talked him into staying at the ranch, that they should have just taken off.
They should have just gone to their little cabin.
Yeah,
I guess.
Okay. Troy ultimately had this plan where he's going to send the zombie horde to go and take down the ranch. Did they deserve what, like, did they treat Troy unfairly? Is that, was he justified in doing what he did?
Well, I can understand why he might have been a little, you know, a little salty about getting banished, but I'm not sure that necessarily merits bringing down a whole bunch of undead onto everybody's head and killing them all. Like, that's right. Just kind of unnecessarily spiteful.
Because it seems like his problem was with Walker and with the Native Americans, or I'm not sure in this instance if they are Native Mexicans, depending on where we are. But it, to kill everybody from the ranch, that seems misplaced.
Just a little.
Yeah, again, Troy Otto, not sound of mind, perhaps after the week or so in solitary confinement. He couldn't even sleep this whole time. So again, I wonder if the show is going to just go back to saying that he was insane during this period.
I think temporary insanity seems like kind of a stretch. He's going to have a hard time pleading that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not sure what his ideal outcome here was. Like, everyone dies and then he is somehow welcomed back to the ranch?
No, I think he wanted Jake to get out, and I don't think he had a plan after that. Like, he went to Nick and said, hey, just so you know, you need to tell Jake what's going to happen. Now, why Troy didn't go to Jake and say, hey, just so you know, I'm going to do something, so get the hell out of here.
Because Jake might have killed him?
He would have killed him then?
Jake might be the only guy there who's smart enough to decide, well, okay, he came back after we told him not to come back. Maybe now it's okay to kill him.
I'm not sure. So, Jess, in terms of where we go from here, I think you are making a lot of sense in terms of how they clean this up. But is the ranch still going to be hospitable to people, to have people live there?
Probably not. I mean, it didn't have a whole lot going for it before. It had some supplies and it had, you know, a lot of RVs for people to live in, and it had some water, and A, it doesn't have any water. B, the supplies are semi-portable. C, they just messed up all their RVs. Where are they going to live? I think everybody's going to be scattered to the four winds at this point. This is kind of a season four original Walking Dead prison scenario.
Should the groups, the Native Mexican group and then also the Madison Ranch group, are they going to join forces and then take on the dam people to try to take over the dam?
I think that's probably where we're headed. I think these storylines all have to come together somehow, and I think bringing them all down to the dam is as good as any next step.
Are we bringing them down to the dam, or are they going to take over the dam? Is it basically going to be Daniel and his forces versus Madison and her forces?
Well, I think that's how it could start. I think there's not going to be like, they're not going to welcome all these people with open arms.
Right. Even though Madison got the invitation to go and live at the dam, but now
yeah, that was just for her.
Right. Her and her kids, I guess. But
yeah,
I mean that. Yeah, well, so why don't they do that now at this point? I mean, they're responsible because Alicia is the leader of the ranch people.
Yeah. And I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think Madison might come back and be like, so, you know, about that offer to let me live here. Can I bring up +75?
+75. I think it's probably more than that.
I'm not sure how many people are at this ranch.
I feel like it's a couple hundred.
A couple hundred.
Yeah.
All right.
So
I didn't do the math with like how many gallons of water per person and
yeah, because they're getting 10,000 gallons of water a week.
Yeah. And if they were saying you got like 5 gallons per person per day.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
That's a lot.
I feel like in an emergency situation, you have like a gallon of water per person per day.
Yeah, they had it down. I think the rations were like 2 gallons, and then somebody complained because their cow needs 5 or something.
Yeah. So they said at the end of the episode, Jess, that there's only 3 episodes left in this season of Fear of the Walking Dead. I mean, how do you think this plays out?
I think it probably ends on a cliffhanger and they think we might care about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are new showrunners coming on for season 4 of Fear the Walking Dead. So I'm not sure at what spot, do they get them someplace safe where they could go anywhere? It feels like to write a cliffhanger that they have to get out to, new showrunner has to come in and sort of like solve a Rubik's Cube before they can start doing anything.
Yeah, but how often does this show ever let people feel safe?
Mm-hmm. Not too often. I mean, it is the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah, exactly. I think you find a new place with people that welcome you in and give you a plate, and then you find out they're cannibals.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So just this episode actually featured walkers for the first time in quite a long time on this show. That really the infected had been very much on the back burner in Fear of the Walking Dead season 3.
Well, it's interesting to me. I wonder if it's sort of in this dry climate. How on the West Coast you have many, many more old cars than you do on the East Coast? Because on the East Coast, have a lot. Yeah, they rust. Mm-hmm. And I think it's kind of the opposite thing. There are more walkers on the East Coast than there are on the West Coast.
The population.
Because it's so dry.
Mm-hmm.
They get mummified more quickly and they end up drying out. So, you need a little bit of moisture to move around, keep the joints greased. And so you see a lot fewer walkers out here in this realm because they've all kind of desiccated.
So you feel like that the heat really wears out the walkers. That I've read theories about how the Walking Dead, ultimately the universe ends up sort of returning to normalcy as all of the walkers from the initial die-off of the civilization, they eventually all liquefy. They have a limited shelf life, all of these walkers. And yes, new walkers will come along, but, that's really just that as the original human population dies off, then there will be less and less walkers. And eventually it'll get to sort of a pretty manageable number.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I think you get there a lot more quickly in a dry climate.
Yeah. It doesn't seem like, though, in the regular Walking Dead, we have reached that critical mass yet.
No, we haven't. We still occasionally have a big herd like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we'll see. But they have more humidity, so maybe that's really keeping the walkers together.
Exactly. Yeah, they got a little bit more. You keep them moist, I think they will live a little bit longer.
Yeah. It's like the hydrator drawer in your refrigerator.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
That's right. It's the same philosophy. Are you in or out on Crazy Dog?
Well, he is also ridiculously good looking, so I'm in on him.
Yes. Crazy Dog. If you were a walker, would you let Crazy Dog guard Ophelia?
I'd probably try to eat him because he looks delicious.
Wow. This is touching on some cannibalism themes, like you just mentioned. This is
if I'm a walker, what is my motivation?
No. Walker, Ophelia's boyfriend.
Oh, okay. That's confusing. That's right. We don't call them walkers on this show.
Right. They're infected on this show.
Yeah. If I'm walker, I'd 100%.
Would it be better if I called him Taka?
Yeah. We'll call him Taka. If I'm that guy, I definitely don't let him guard Ophelia because he's very good looking and I'm pretty sure Taka's got a thing for Ophelia.
Yeah. Okay.
That's the shipping that's happening with Ophelia. I don't think Nick really wants any part of that.
Right. One of two eligible bachelorettes on this show. I guess Madison is eligible, but it's probably too soon to the loss of Travis for her to date again.
Yeah, she's still.
She had a little bit of a flirtmance with both Jeremiah Otto and Troy Otto.
A little bit, but man, that's some interesting shipping.
I'll tell you, I am going to lose it if Madison comes back and is like, I need to talk some sense into Troy. I just need to talk to him.
And then she talks some sense into him?
Or tries to.
And they get distracted.
I mean, the move needs to be Troy, let's go talk some sense. Let me go talk to him. And then kill him. That's the move.
Yeah.
Put him
down.
That's
the move.
Put him down. You had this chance. You need to make things right, Madison.
Yeah. Yeah. This is pretty much entirely Madison's fault, if it's not Nick's fault.
Okay. Do you think that Madison will be back in the next episode? Or do you think that we will just continue with what's going on at the ranch without Madison and Strand and Taka?
I think the water truck shows up at the end of the next episode.
End of the next episode. So they're really on their own for this one.
I think they do this you know, all those battle episodes in Game of Thrones where, you know, fight, 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 fight. It's looking hopeless for one side. And then some other people suddenly join the fight and turn things around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. Like, they're going to be in this untenable situation. They're not sure. Like, tensions are boiling. They're trapped in the pantry. The hordes are closing in. And then all of a sudden, the water truck comes in. The cavalry bails them out.
But what's the cavalry? The water truck?
Yeah, a bunch of people in a water truck.
What are they going to do? It's not like that they're, like, the water truck is outfitted with machine guns or anything like that.
Maybe it puts out the wildfire that Nick and Troy have started to get the zombies away that quickly engulfs the ranch.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Okay, so we'll see what happens next Sunday night on Fear the Walking Dead. Jess, any other thoughts from this episode?
This was a better episode than I had originally hoped for. I think this is one of the better episodes I've seen of the show. Mm-hmm. I think it was a little heavy-handed at times. I felt like it was very telegraphed what was going to happen to Jake from pretty much minute one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but I am
you're better
excited
than me.
To see.
I didn't see it coming.
Oh, I 100%. Like, as soon as he started talking about the future, I'm like, oh, that poor dude.
Yeah.
I knew he wasn't making it out of this season, but still.
Yeah. Jake Otto, again, maybe he wasn't so committed to hurting Troy Otto, because even when he got him on the ground, it looked like to me that Jake Otto was just like slapping him in the face.
Maybe he just doesn't know how to fight.
Maybe that's also a possibility that's why Troy Otto has been able to get the best of him so many times. All right. So we will talk about everything that goes on in the final hours of season 3 of Fear of the Walking Dead. Just, do we have a hashtag for tonight?
Do we have a hashtag? Do you have anything written down?
What about hashtag literally disarmed?
Literally disarmed is pretty good.
In honor of Jake Otto and his final moments on this earth. With one R.I.P. arm before he's literally disarmed by Nick's good looks.
Rest in
or
pieces.
Troy's good looks in this case.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Jess, thank you so much. Very nice to chat with you about all of this. You can follow Jess on Twitter. She is at Haymaker Hattie. I'm at Rob Cisternino. Of course, our Star Trek podcast that we did the other day is available for you at postshowrecaps.com. And you can hear everything we're doing in our Star Trek podcast feed at postshowrecaps.com/Star Trek. And if you want to subscribe to everything we're doing at Post Show Recaps, go to postshowrecaps.com/iTunes. Josh Wigler and I are also continuing our Winter Was Here Game of Thrones rewatch. Episode 3 is coming out on Tuesday as well. So I still have to finish watching the second half of that. No spoilers here, Jess.
I will give you no spoilers.
I will not spoil the third episode of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, except for like all the Game of Thrones spoilers I dropped on you 5 minutes ago.
That's right. All right, Jess, anything else?
I think that's about it. Till next week.
All right. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on postshowrecaps.com. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.